When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, How To Podcast. This is Bernadette with a follow-up. Thanking you again for a wonderful experience, taking each step that was provided by the expert on the How To Divorce segment. It was amazing. I was encouraged because many of my friends said that it not only helped me, of course, but it helped other people. And I hadn't thought about that beyond myself, which makes me grateful. So thanks again. Happy New Year.
Welcome to How To. I'm Amanda Ripley. It's that time of year again, where everyone who makes this show gets to come together to reflect on the past 365 days worth of advice. That's 52 episodes featuring your problems and your toughest questions. Hopefully, alongside the smartest people we could find to help, we were able to make life a little bit easier. In addition to our regular producers, this year we're joined by Slate's Senior Technical Director, Merritt Jacob. He's the guy who makes our show sound so great.
Thanks so much for having me here.
Thanks for joining us. You have this subconscious and conscious effect on people, on every listener, and they don't even know it, maybe. but you're intimately involved in every episode in scoring the sound, so we're very glad that you're here. It's exciting. And we also got Derek John, who is our executive producer. Actually, you now have some kind of highfalutin title, like you've way overshot this show, and
that's
now what
so
is your actual
true.
What is your title now?
That is ridiculous. Well, I'm executive producer of narrative podcasts at Slate.
Okay. and then, of course, we have someone who's actually quite shy to be on mic and is actually wonderful on mic, has an amazing voice. So, Rosemary, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Rosie. I help produce How To from very beginnings of, questions that just are inkles in people's eyes to getting the podcast out the door.
So in other words, Rosie does every damn thing.
Pretty much.
It's awesome to see you all in one place. And I want to, really thank all of the listeners who are not here, but should be. We're very grateful to all of you who reached out to us this year with your problems, big and small. And we learned a lot. So let's get into it. What were some of your favorite episodes or lessons learned from this year? We'll get the answers to that right after the break. And definitely stick around for what has to be my favorite part of this annual retrospective, where we check in with a bunch of our listeners from the past year to see how things are going. Stay with us.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hi, this is Dahlia Lithwick, host of Slate's legal podcast, Amicus. If you're listening to this show, you might be interested in Amicus's live show that we're hosting in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, May the 14th. My colleague, Mark Joseph Stern, and I will be talking to some amazing guests, including Sherrilyn Ifill and a sitting state Supreme Court justice, all about how originalism, a relatively recently invented way of interpreting the Constitution, has taken over the Supreme Court and radically reshaped the law. It's been doctrinal rocket fuel for the conservative legal movement and facilitated the rolling back of abortion rights, the expansion of gun rights, and the obliteration of the separation of church and state. And as another wildly consequential Supreme Court term careers to its end, the court's originalists are on a tear. But there's something you can do about it, and we hope you'll join us in D.C. on May 14th to explore the possible pathways out of the current situation. Go to slate.com/amicuslive for tickets.
Welcome back. We're rounding up our favorite advice from 2022 and how we used it in our own lives. Rosie, of all the episodes,
oh my goodness,
what stands out to you? What do you remember?
I feel like a parent saying this. I can't pick my favorite. They're all my favorites. But one of the episodes that I truly just love, it has a little special place in my heart, was the mini-series that we did about how to save a planet, starting with your yard. That was the first parter had Judy, our listener, and Professor Doug Tallamy. And then the second part was with was the field trip that you did with the Swiss ambassador, Ambassador Pete Liu. And it was just one of those episodes that was fun from the get-go. It was informative. I consider myself kind of like a green thumb. It's just something I'm really passionate about. And I learned so much from this episode. Who knew that oak trees were like one of the best, most supportive trees in that you can grow in North America? Who knew? I didn't know that.
I look at them differently now.
I do too. And it's one of those episodes that had really tangible solutions to an issue like climate change that I think, at least for myself, it kind of leaves me helpless because of just like the scope of the issue. And by no means like is planting a few milkweeds to be a pit stop for butterflies gonna save everything. But like it gave me a little hope that I can at least affect what's around me. Honestly, this was an episode that we got so much like listener feedback on too.
I love that episode too. But it's funny because I didn't know you actually were a gardener. I mean, I should have figured that out, but I have noticed that you love to be outside. And we will be doing, so Rosie, for the listeners, Rosie lives in Wisconsin. There are times where we will be having Zoom meetings and it's snowing, and Rosie's outside. She has like these fantastic earmuffs and other accoutrements.
That was one of my favorite episodes too, and I think it's because it's one of those episodes that just sort of goes against the conventional wisdom. It just kind of makes you look at the world around you in a whole new way. And you know, I was someone who grew up, you know, in the burbs, and I actually loved mowing our lawn as a kid. It was just like this sort of meditative thing, and I just really loved having that lawn. And then just to kind of realize, oh, that's actually really not great for the local ecosystem, and it you know, ends up using so much water. And even though we think it looks good, it's actually serious business. I mean, there are, you know, all these states, especially in the West, who are going through this mega drought, and this is kind of like a dire situation.
Yeah, it did kind of ruin grass for us, right? I mean, I think, but it also, now every time I see clover in grass, like sort of mixed in, which used to be like a bad thing, right? You wouldn't want to see anything else other than pure lush grass. Now it makes me happy. So I'm like, oh, good. There's something for the pollinators. In some ways, you know, that was an easy episode because, you know, we had a place to go. We had things that the listener could do, and she did do. She was super game, as I remember, right, Rosie? Didn't she send you a bunch of pictures from her?
Oh, she did. I felt like I had like been to her yard by the time we were done. Judy was amazing. And last I talked to her, she was like starting to gear up for the spring. So I can't wait to follow up with her come springtime.
I'll tell you one thing I have not done this fall. I don't know about any of you. I have not raked my leaves because that was one of the things we learned. Do not touch those. And I see everyone else raking, and I'm like, sucker.
Yeah, no, that was like definitely one of my favorite tips of the year, because it was like, oh, great. Like, I'm actually saving the earth by being lazy.
Okay, so that was, I think, all around one of our favorite episodes. I will say one of the pieces of advice I have tried to apply to my own life is from one of my other favorite episodes of the year, which was How to Make Humor Your Superpower, which was also a two-parter. You can, I guess, tell when we get really excited about an episode because we do two parts. So we had Naomi Bagdonas, who is the co-author of this book, Humor Seriously. She came on along with Michael Terry, who's, you know, a stand-up comic on the side and also works at a hedge fund. So he kind of tries to put humor into practice in his everyday life, even in places that feel humorless. First of all, we laughed a lot on that episode. But the takeaway that stayed with me was you don't actually have to be funny to use humor. You just have to be alert to absurdity and say the thing that everyone's noticing, whether you're, you know, on a plane or in a conference room or waiting for a bus. Just be awake to levity and silliness. And there's something really delightful about that. So you're not saying, oh man, I have to be hilarious. But you're saying, all I have to do is see the world around me and be willing to take a chance and notice it. And in a very practical way, one of the pieces of advice that Naomi gave was be human in your emails. So she had us look at our most recent emails and actually say, how did we sign off? And Michael and I were both so embarrassed because we were like, all best wishes, you know? And she was like, why do we do that? You know, like what? And I mean, if we have to spend so much time on email, why not be human? So the sign off is a really good place to do that. So I've tried, sometimes I just don't have the energy, but sometimes I'll try to do a callback, like she said, to something funny that the other person had said last time I saw them, or even just a small things. I had just wrote an email an hour ago and I just signed it like, here's to more shenanigans in 2023. Cause we had done a project together that was really fun. This person I was writing, and it's not funny. That's not really that creative, but like, it's better than all best. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, anytime you can use the word shenanigans, I mean,
agreed.
I think that's like
a win. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's also hootenanny, which we used in the last episode.
I've got to go review that humor episode because I love all these things that you're reminding me of, Amanda, about the episode. But I feel like there was one caveat of just sort of about being careful and like that's yes. The sort of catch. And you can't just because we're all thinking about like someone's like, you know, relative passing away or something. It doesn't mean definitely right. That you can chime in with like a.
Well, the one I remember is don't punch down. Mm. Don't make fun of people who have less power than you in the room or right. The world. Yes. And certainly no one who's dead.
Right.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Rosie, I'm curious, what's a piece of advice that like kind of, you know, really stuck with you that you were able to like apply to your own life?
This is kind of silly, but the episode about dressing with confidence from celebrity stylist Lisa Evans was one of the ones that I just like learned so much from. First of all, who knew black wasn't a neutral? Like,
I know.
So much of my wardrobe is black, and I'm like, wow, I've got such a neutral wardrobe. I do not. but the one thing that I've like come back to time and time again is that you should really let comfort and confidence be your guide in terms of what you're wearing, and that like even though you like see whatever like you know whatever's popular or what other people are wearing, like if it doesn't work for you and you feel like you're dressing up in someone else's clothes, just like discard it. And that's again kind of maybe a simple piece of advice, but like I don't know. Yeah. I've been coming back to it time and time again this year because I, you know, the last couple of years I've been working remotely, so I don't dress myself to go into the office. And I used to wear like lots of dresses and like tights and like, you know, things that I would consider like fairly fancy. And I just don't have the reason to like dress up anymore. And like, I definitely like retreated into like the athleisure loungewear. And I was feeling kind of guilty about it or self-conscious about it. And so this year, after hearing that episode, I've been trying to like focus a little bit more on like when I do have times that I'm like going out into the world, not only paying attention to what I wear, but like paying attention to how comfortable I feel. And like, let me tell you, I found one shirt that is amazing and it has these big flowy ABBA like sleeves. I just love it so much. And I like had Lisa in my head as I went back online and bought like four more in different colors. I'm like, yes. Lisa would definitely sign off on me doing this.
This is your uniform.
It's my uniform. Yeah. Exactly. So
yeah,
that's awesome. I agree. That one I found to be like mind blowing in a way I totally did not expect. And she, I think she started, like she told the story, right, about working with Amy Schumer and how the first question she always asks is something like, you know, when is the last time you felt fabulous in whatever you were wearing? and you sort of start from there. And what was it about it? Remember there was this whole thing about the silhouette?
Yes.
Which, like, because I'm not really into fashion, it took me like a really long time. I had to go to like remedial. I remember, Rosie, you and I were like Wikipediaing silhouette. And just really,
what is this? How do I explain it?
Like, what is she talking about? But once we got our heads around it, this idea that there's a certain shape that feels good to each of us and looks good to each of us. Mm-hmm. And so, like, just go with that. Like, don't worry about anything else. And it, like, just kind of gives you permission to be like, oh yeah, this is my thing. Everything else I can give away.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I also found that episode kind of validating as someone who is basically at this point just wearing a lot of hoodies and like sweatpants. Because we are just working from home now. And I always sort of felt guilty about it. But now I'm just like, I don't know. Why not? It's comfortable. You know,
right.
It works.
I mean, you could be the CEO of a tech company and wear that. Why can't you?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. After seeing like Sam Bankman-Fried's work outfit, quote unquote, I don't feel so bad.
Well, and I will say I've been traveling a lot the last 6 months and out in the world. And the other day I gave a talk in jeans, which I never would have done. You know, they were like dressy jeans and I had on a nice shirt. But like, you know, it wasn't disrespectful, but I think you can carry this into the world, right? I don't think it's just a Zoom thing, which is cool.
Yeah. Merritt, you're a fashion plate. How did that?
Yeah, Merritt episode... already knew all of this.
No, not at all. And I couldn't agree more. Rosie, I found that to be just how the first step sort of being kind of the more difficult step of just sort of the acceptance and awareness of your own shape and going forward, you know, from that standpoint. My wife and I both enjoyed that one for that reason, and just like, you know, deriving your confidence and your style from, you know, who it is that you are.
Yeah.
Right.
And just kind of not trying to fit into some other, I mean, you could, it's a whole metaphor that's much bigger than fashion, right? It's like getting comfortable with yourself. Yeah.
Getting comfortable with yourself and then in the clothes that you're wearing. And, I found it just sort of inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, it does raise the point that we've talked about some of the lighthearted episodes. We also do a lot of really serious, intense episodes. I'm always amazed. Listeners bring us some really, really hard problems. You know what I mean? Like, and I used to wonder why would you bring us like the hardest, most intimate, difficult problem you have? And then I realized, well, of course, you know, if you could solve it by Googling it, then you would. Right. So people will often bring us something that is either obviously very, very heavy or appears light, but in fact is heavier, right? Like is about something bigger, like being yourself or saving the planet, right? And it's kind of awesome how people will trust us. I mean, I'm saying this like I don't understand why, but I think we do work very hard to protect people's privacy and to find just the right expert and to take real care with their story. But it is sort of striking to me how people will bring us really personal, difficult things. And it's not always easy for them. I mean, Rosie, maybe this would be a time to talk a little bit about what happens behind the scenes to help make guests feel comfortable.
Yeah, I'm always so blown away how much trust, like, you know, listeners have in us. I don't know. It's something that I definitely don't take for granted. I mean, I love having what we call pre-interviews, which is essentially just conversations with listeners after, you know, y'all have written in or called us with your questions. And it's kind of a time where we get to, you know, we get to know each other. I get more information about your questions, but we're at this kind of unique junction being part of a journalistic organization, but also being in the advice world. So if I can find an expert that you jive with who has the knowledge that you're looking for, but also can say like, I've been here too. Here's how I've navigated the stuff that like doesn't get covered in studies is the like messy human stuff that like we can't figure out on our own. I don't know, that always makes a really good match for me.
Yeah, I mean, Rosie, I think this is like your secret superpower, like your ability to kind of crystallize and figure out, you know, the thing that they need the most help with. And then, to, you know, there are so many people out there in the world who've written books and studied these things and so-called experts, but finding the one that will really vibe with the person who has that personal journey, has that empathy. Like I'm just thinking of the one that we did, How to Stop Having It All Before You Lose Everything. Mm-hmm. And our listener was like this, like Instagram influencer, busy mom, I think in like Arizona. Mm-hmm. And you had brought on Amy Westervelt, who had written this whole book. And our listener, when she heard that, was like, oh my gosh, like, I know you, like, I've seen your stuff. Like, you are the person who I like talk to other people about. And like, there she was on the call with her to like help walk her through this. So, I mean, there's so many examples like that, but I also just want to say real quickly that, we are so gratified that people share, like very intimate details of what's going on with them. And we certainly are very cognizant and conscious of protecting identity and privacy. And you know, I'm thinking of another episode we did this year, which was like how to stop workplace bullies. And that was a really tough one. And I mean, we were on the phone for hours with this woman, in Canada, just to make sure that she felt comfortable, sharing these things. And also we wanted to make sure that we could really try and give her some like practical advice. But I just think, again, it's this sort of solutions journalism that we are striving for, to really make it like human centered and put the listener first.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, and it is funny how people don't always realize, like Rosie said, I'm glad you brought that up, because you're trying to kind of curate a dinner party about the hardest thing in someone's life. Right? So you want to be really thoughtful of the mood and the vibe and the connection and, you know, finding someone who knows a lot on paper and also, like Rosie said, has been through it, has been through the woods and out the other side. Coming up, we're going to give you a little peek behind the scenes at how we pick just the right music for each show. And then we've got some great listener updates that you won't want to miss. Stay with us.
On Debt, Sex, and Money, we feature interviews with you, our community of listeners, getting honest about uncomfortable things.
I developed an illness where it isn't safe for me to drive. A friend once said to me, sex is like air. You don't think about it until you're not getting enough. This is a similar sort of thing if you just replace sex with driving.
Listen to Debt, Sex, and Money wherever you get podcasts.
I wonder, since we're kind of going behind the scenes a little bit, Merrick, could you maybe kind of walk us through how you pick music and score each episode? Because each episode, people again may not know this, but each episode has a original score and sort of playlist. So could you describe that, how that works? How do you start?
Sure. Yeah. So my process is such that I will go through and do kind of a smoothing and pacing pass.
To take out the sounds of dogs and flushing toilets, and, right?
Oh, no, accentuate
flushing
those.
Toilets.
That's depth of field.
We did have one of those this year. This probably shouldn't go on the show, but we did have
we
one
had a flushing toilet.
Yeah, no, it's nice. On me. Like in my office, there's a bathroom right next to where I'm standing. So once in a while, someone will.
Amanda.
It's true. And so I'm always like, no.
Yeah. So accentuate those and highlight those. And then as I'm going, I'll try to pace the piece out and leave gaps where I think music can help the show to move along. I'll sort of leave notes indicating feelings that I'm feeling as I'm doing this, like brooding,
like
or
okay,
longing or inspired or challenged. A funny one that often comes up a lot doing this show is feeling stuck, which is actually kind of one of the more challenging sort of things to do musically. So hopefully the music kind of has a purpose of sharing a certain feeling, but also allowing some room for hope, or maybe clue them in that something good might happen. The story might take a turn. They might have someone help them, or oftentimes the narration will sort of have a revelation. I'm not sure if these will be the most perfect examples. I have like an example here, and I can play you my first attempt, which I felt like was sort of a bad, the less good option.
Here's our first rule. Virtually no decision is truly permanent. Even tattoo.
So I thought that was okay and kind of highlighted the sort of turmoil and the struggle that the listener was feeling, but I thought we could do a step better and get something that keeps the show moving more and maybe gives the listener a bit of hope and that we might resolve this and some like inspiration to keep listening.
Here's our first rule. Virtually no decision is truly permanent. Even tattoos aren't really permanent. Almost everything can be undone with enough time and resources. That said, not everyone has unlimited time and resources. Some decisions are much harder to undo. So how do you know if the decision is worth the risk?
Could we take Tiffany through a bit of that process right now?
Oh, sure. I love that cue so much. That was a great choice, Merritt.
That's thanks. A great example.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say too, part of what it works about that music is it's got this sense of like we're tackling it. You know, it's got a kind of active.
There's something intriguing about it. Like there's intrigue. Something's afoot.
Mm. Right. Right.
Yeah, because like any dinner party, the music matters. Like how you feel matters. How the audience feels, and it can make it much, much better. Because sometimes I'll hear it, you know, over and over again as we're editing it. And then I'll hear the final version with music. And it just was like, wow, I'm so inspired. Like I have a totally different feeling.
I think the other thing musically that we try and do, and I hope that listeners sort of pick up on this, is not ever be like too over the top or too kind of saccharine or like, especially like at the end when we've quote unquote solved the problem. I think it's really easy to go like full on cheesy, like the world's just perfect now. And it's just, you know, the world like is still Hollywood. Kind of a messy place.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so now it's time to open our presents. The best part about this annual tradition is that we get to hear from some of you all, and particularly people who have come on the show with a problem and now tell us how it's going. Rosie, have you gotten any updates?
Oh my goodness. We have gotten updates, which I just love. I think we've got an official update from Becca Ballant, who was running for office. She won her election.
Yes. So this is huge news. As listeners may remember, Becca Ballant came on our show with Utah Governor Spencer Cox to talk about how to run for office without being an a-hole. Is that even possible today? Becca was a state legislator from Vermont, and she's very much on the left. And Governor Cox is a Republican from Utah, very much on the right. And they talked about how do you resist the urge to demonize, to seek revenge in a system that's really set up to stoke all of those feelings. And then, drumroll, we heard from Becca.
I did win my election. And I won it without being an a-hole. I am really enjoying getting to know my future colleagues in this incoming class. I think a lot of us feel the same way, that this moment is very critical for us to come together as a nation. And I'll just tell you a quick story. During orientation, I looked around the room and realized that there was a table that was probably full of Republicans. And I could tell that because you get to know the people in your own caucus really well. And these were people I didn't really recognize. So I sat down, we got to chit-chatting, and they just assumed I was a Republican. And at one moment, you know, they realized that I was a Democrat. And it all got very weird really quickly in the way that they were looking at each other and looking at me. And I finally said, if we can't sit and have a muffin and coffee together, we're just doomed as a nation, and we've got to do it differently, and it starts with us. And so in the days that followed, anytime I saw them, folks who had been at that table, they waved, we exchanged, you know, pleasantries in the elevator, we had a connection to build on. And on the last day, one of the staffers came to find me and he said, I wanted to get a chance to talk with you and tell you how nice it's been for me to watch you bring that positive spirit and that kindness with you. And we took a selfie together, and I feel like that one little gesture of mine of sitting with them and breaking bread together, those kinds of things can allow us to build relationships. So keep checking in. But today, I'm feeling really hopeful.
I actually saw Becca at the Library of Congress last week. She was there for her freshman orientation with her family. It was really truly thrilling. She showed me the member room where only members of Congress can go within the library, to read and think and reflect.
Yeah, and I hope that that level of harmony lasts in the cafeteria.
Yeah. Another listener we heard from, who is actually our very first episode of the year, we heard from Tori. She had written into us originally on asking how she could quit sugar. And this was one of the episodes that sort of snowballed into answering a question that was much bigger than just sugar.
Hi, How To folks. This is Tori from the episode How to Eat Whatever You Want. Just calling with an update. And since that episode, I will say I've been eating whatever I want. I have not been cutting out sugar or any other types of food. I haven't been keeping track of food. I haven't been weighing myself or anything like that. So some of the advice that was given, like, redirecting the conversation and whatnot, that's been actually super helpful. And I have been able to do that with some friends. And it's been really nice not having the focus of conversation be on what you're doing to lose weight or work out or whatever. I will say it's been hard to adjust to the changes in my body, especially because it's really hard to find clothes for bigger sizes in stores. And that's the one thing that's been a bit demoralizing, although I do have some friends that have shared with me different places to go and find things. And yeah, I think that's about it. Thanks for having me on the show and giving me all that great advice. And I hope everyone is doing well.
I'm very grateful to Tori for sharing that update with us in all of its complexity. These are not easy problems. And we're really glad to hear from you and from all of our listeners, even when things are not anywhere close to fixed. That's where we live. Derek, anyone else that we've heard from?
Well, actually, on that point, you know, that's certainly true. Although sometimes we do hear from people from years ago who our advice has frankly changed their life, which is amazing. And that includes Matt from 2019. We did one of our earliest episodes was called How to Stop Being Anxious. Mm-hmm. He was this ex-police officer who had some tragedy in his family, losing one of his daughters to this rare illness. And he had all of these kind of episodes of extreme anxiety where if he got a text, it would remind him of when his daughter was in the hospital and something was going wrong. And he would just like break out in these cold sweats. And it was really disrupting his life and his work. And we were able to bring in Dr. Ben Michaelis, who's this cognitive behavioral therapist, who gave him some techniques to kind of break those cycles of stress and anxiety. And Matt actually wrote to us just recently. So this is like 3 years later. And I'll just quote from his email. He says, things are going great. I'm still using these techniques. The key for me was realizing that I had a reason to stress. It wasn't that I was going crazy or anything like that. I was going through a very hard situation with losing our daughter. And so once I kind of realized that, then I could actually cope with it. And so I just wanted to say thank you. And again, we are so gratified to hear things like that. I'm so glad that our advice was helpful in this case.
Yeah. And speaking of anxiety, I think we also heard from Peter from Israel, right? Who was terribly phobic of cockroaches. Is that right?
We did. He was the one that was, afraid of cockroaches. And then we very cruelly showed him some pictures of cockroaches to help, figure out
exposure
how he should react in real time. Exactly.
Yeah, exposure therapy. There was an actual psychologist in the room, just to be clear.
Right. It was all very controlled. He did consent to it, kind of.
That's another one of my favorite behind-the-scenes stories from this year, because I remember like spending an hour trying to find the scariest, creepiest cockroach image that we could show him. And I did sort of take perverse pleasure
in that. Enjoyed it a little too much, as I recall. But good news, right? I mean, he's doing okay, it sounds like.
We haven't truly traumatized him. He came out of our recording okay. No, actually, he, this summer during cockroach season in Israel, he made it through. Every time he saw one on the street, he thinks to himself, I can do this. I was on a podcast, which was just amazing. I just love it. And apparently just being on the show, even though we showed him pictures of cockroaches, gave him an extra boost of confidence. So,
yeah, that's so there you go.
Yep.
Anyone out there listening who wants to do something hard, something scary, reach out to us. And then if nothing else, you can then say to yourself, I can do this. I was on a podcast.
Exactly.
Thank you again to my colleagues, Derek John, Rosie Belson, and Mara Jacob for joining me on this side of the mic. And a huge thank you to all of you, our listeners, who continue to entrust us with your problems week to week. It is an honor and a privilege to make this show and learn alongside you. How To's executive producer is Derek John. Rosemary Belson produces the show. Mara Jacob is our senior technical director. Special thanks to Kevin Bendis and Alicia Montgomery. Charles Duhigg created the show. I'm Amanda Ripley. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2023.